foot of a 40 when I was alive.
Back to the table, everyone. You're at the right place at the right time for the Second Echelon, episode 113. Today, we are brought to you by Hemp Daddy's CBD. This is an incredible brand that we've been fortunate to find out about here in our local community of Wimberley. Caleb, the owner, Hemp Daddy himself, he's a father, and personally oversees like all of this from seed to bottle. Super high quality CBD. Really, really pleased with this stuff. We use it ourselves. Really good for inflammation, anxiety, post-workout recovery, pretty much all of the above. You know, if you haven't ever tried CBD, you know, talk to somebody who does. Consider giving it a shot yourself. You can get, I believe, 20% off your first order at hempdaddies.com using the code Second Echelon. They've got capsules, water soluble, regular tincture, even the vape pen cartridges, if that's what you're into. Everything there, 20% off your first order with code Second Echelon at hempdaddies.com. Support a local business. Follow them on social media. Caleb himself is an ultra distance runner. And yeah, super pleased that we could partner with them on this. So again, Hemp Daddy's CBD, thank you so much for supporting the show. Code Second Echelon gets you 20% off at hempdaddies.com. All right. We're also brought to you by Jackrew USA. They are our clothing provider here at WRA for not only our racing team, but I mean, they put all the threads on our backs here, which is really nice. And also they keep the store open for us. So for all of our custom clothing, our store is open year round. We don't have an order window. We don't have any order minimums. And even better, we can put new designs in our store all the time. And we do. I mean, we get carried away with it because there's an online design tool where, like, pretty much, you know, you wake up one morning with a eureka idea for a jersey. Oh, yeah.
The more pressing the deadline we have at work, the more likely we're working on a new jersey design instead.
So we just uploaded a cool, like, lion polka dot multicolor jersey, which is really fun. And then there's also a beautiful purple fade that's in there as well. We don't have either of those yet personally, but some of the folks in the coaching family have already gotten it because Jackrew ships everything in 2 weeks. It's really incredible how fast it is. So as soon as we have a new design up, usually someone's got it just, you know, 10 or 14 days later. And a lot of times we're seeing stuff on social media from our store that we don't have yet. So if you're interested in checking that out, I highly recommend you try some of the Jackrew stuff. If you're thinking about changing over your clothing supplier, I highly recommend you do. The link in our description, all of our stuff in there is lower than retail cost. You know, don't tell anybody or whatever, but it's all there. So check it out, try it for yourself. And if you're ready to make the leap, you can either shoot Claire an email, C-L-A-I-R-E at jackrewusa.com, or get in touch with us and we'll hook you up with the design team. Everything they do is, I mean, we swear by it because they've been around for a lot longer than you would think. They compete with some of the highest quality brands out there. Their top end stuff, we're super, super pleased with it. It's as good as anything from ASOS or Rafa or anything that we've used before. And on top of that, it's a better value because it's cheaper, like by cost, but it's not a cheaper material. And you can't beat the service of totally custom, you know, basically no minimums, and they're so fast.
It's good stuff.
It's the way really to go. Good stuff. So thank you so much, Jackrew. Holler at them, follow them, and if you're ready to make the leap, let us know. We'll help you out.
Yeah, there's a coffee cake muffin on your desk.
There you go. Elizabeth just got here. All right. So finally, we are brought to you by the Williams Racing Academy. And man, I couldn't be more stressed about this advertisement right now because we're starting 4 new people this month. And it's been a lot of work
this week.
it's been the good kind of stressful. I can't, you know, we're very, very fortunate, very blessed that we've continued on as normal through all of this crazy pandemic, whatnot. But I will say that
I don't think about it too terribly much because
it's hard to look outside right now for sure. But you know, we are still in control of our own worlds, which is very nice. We as cyclists, we still have our outlet. We still have our bike. We can still go out and blow off some steam. And that's actually going to be kind of the topic of today's episode. But to wrap it up really quick, if you're looking to hire a coach or us as coaches, you know, do your homework first. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a goal that you're looking to reach, we're interested in hearing about that. That's what we do all day, every day. That's why we do what we do, is because we want to see you guys succeed. So if there's something you have in mind that you'd like to knock out, let us know, and we'll see if there's something we can do to help you with that. WilliamsRacingAcademy.com, or shoot me an email directly, Noah@WilliamsRacingAcademy, for more information there. Also, you can waive your initiation fee, which is $100 value, by using the code SEASON2 on your intake form. So if you go to the website, at the top, there's a link for the intake form. Also, you can look. There's no commitment involved with that, but you can look at the coaching services and stuff first. It doesn't really matter, but we need that information. Just kind of gives us a little bit of background on where you're at, so that we can have an actual professional opinion and not just, you know, shooting
sure,
advice at you.
I think you can do 60 hours a week.
So no commitment to that. We'd love to hear from you. Use code SEASON2 to wipe your initiation fee. We know you're a fan of the podcast, and we want to support you guys. So we'll see you over there, and I look forward to speaking with you guys. So on to the meat of today's episode. That brings us to kind of what I was thinking, is that it's hard when you look outside right now. There's crazy stuff going on in the outside world. It's crazy stuff on social media, crazy stuff on the news. And I mean, even in our personal lives, there's quite a bit of unrest. So it is when it rains, it storms, right?
Yeah.
But we still have an outlet. We can still ride. And this is one of the most important factors to me about doing this job and about being involved in this community, is that it really is. Of course, there's very few things that in life that are, on one end can be a competitive sport, and on the other end can be like a valid tool to improve mental health. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's lots.
I think of surfing as like that. Yeah, you can compete in surfing, but you can also never compete in surfing and really push yourself, or just go out there and just ride.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I've, you know, come to appreciate most in this time, is that certainly when the stress level in my life reaches a certain point, when I see my workout come through for the morning and I think about how difficult it's going to be, sometimes it's easy to more often than not, you don't feel that fire. You don't feel that desire to go get it, unless whatever your goal is breathing down your neck, or if it's a really, you know, important to you, even if it's big and it's a long way off. But, you know, for a lot of us, our racing has been delayed significantly.
I just got off the phone with somebody, and we're talking about like all the fire in the world to prepare for something, but we don't know what, you know, if you're getting ready for nationals,
right?
You don't know when it's going to be or even where it's going to be.
Right. So, you know, you have both ends of the spectrum here, where it's like, well, why am I training? And then on the other hand, you have, well, I want to do all of the training because I have the time and ability to, but there's nothing, you know, super precise to shoot for. And I mean, at this point, everybody and their brother's done an Everest, but I mean, you know, it's good motivation for a lot of folks. But that being said, it's a difficult time. And I mean, this is sort of what we had foreseen coming early on, and not, this isn't the worst case scenario. I mean, you know, but you know, we feared kind of getting to a point where we were in a bit of a no man's land, and it's difficult, at least from, it's not difficult to continue making people stronger and fitter. I mean, that's usually, the racing season is sort of at odds with that objective, you know? So we're having to balance, you know, the competition with the actual building of the engine. And some, you can't really do both at the same time, generally speaking. You have to either be building or be racing. And in order to be fresh for the races, you can't be going into fatigue.
We're going to state the obvious, but if you're trying to build your fitness during the race season, you're going to be fatigued on race day, unless you're going to not build very rapidly or something like that.
Yeah. So now, obviously, we've taken racing off the table, and everyone's been able to go hog wild to whatever degree they felt appropriate with the training. And now we're at a point where a lot of folks are kind of reevaluating, like, what do I look to get me going, you know, and what do I look to if I'm in really good form right now, what should I start focusing on next? And if I've kind of lost the plot on motivation, how do I get a handle on it again? And this is, it's, I won't say this is like a part of the process for everybody because this is a very unique time, obviously. But that being said, it's also important to realize, you know, you made a post about this the other day in our coaching family group on mm-hmm. Facebook about how it can be in a vacuum without racing, it can be very easy to focus solely on the training and even to maybe take that training and put it on a pedestal where whether you're doing well and taking it 100% seriously and trying to nail the prescribed workouts to a T, that can induce a fatigue and a stress of its own over time, unless you're the type of athlete that just happens to be able to do the plan perfectly written as is every day. But that requires a level of, you know, discipline and some forethought that a lot of folks don't necessarily want or need to incorporate into their daily lives in terms of balancing cycling with what they have going on. The flip side there is that if you're seeing workouts coming in and you're not motivated to do them and maybe the charts and graphs aren't looking quite the way you hoped right now and you're trying to find how to get out of that tailspin, this is a time where it's difficult to say this because as a coach and as somebody who writes training plans, I don't want to say ignore the plan, but it's important, especially now when we really, like, the plan is most effective when we have to work around something, because then whatever it is that we're working around would have otherwise been a more significant obstacle in terms of your improvement without applying some level of science or experience to how do you get through this particular challenge? How do you get into the Cat 2s while working, you know, 9 hours a day? How do you, you know, get into the Cat 3s, but I have 10 kids, you know what I mean? Like some stuff like that.
Real thing we're facing this week. Not that we have 10 kids.
No, not literally. But that being said.
We have a client with 10 kids.
That's incredible. I mean, like just.
I'd want to go ride too.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful thing is that we all started riding because we enjoyed riding bikes, right? And it can be easy at times, whether you're doing really well or not, to start to feel like that training plan is breathing down your neck. And particularly when there's not racing right in front of us to reach out and grab, we're not having to work around some super heavy duty school or work schedule. It's important to acknowledge what it is and acknowledge that it was written for you, but it's not the end of the world to deviate from it. So I think with that, you can maybe jump into that post.
Yeah, I pulled it up here. I can actually read what I wrote. So we have in our coaching family, we have a private group within Facebook where we'll discuss things or talk about training or talk about camps or whatever is coming up. But we also just talk about challenges along the way because most everybody's involved.
Can we get that up in front of you, please?
Most everybody's involved in the real world and of our clients. Not everybody's pacing. Anyway, so I'll just read it here, so bear with me. In these challenging times, it's somewhat easy in a way to make the training plan seem more than it does. It's a guide. It's a map. It's taking us from where you were to where you want to go. It's the best way I can come up with to get you there, but I can't know every single variable that poses a challenge. An uncertain race schedule, with most everyone not having a firm idea when they're racing again, means that the plan is to continue building fitness, but to do so sustainably. We have a lot of folks who just want to pour it on right now. The mindset is admirable in the sense that you're wanting to work, but to turn it into something more than the grind or put more meaning into a set of intervals or predicted TSS for the workout can actually add stress that is counterproductive right now. When using a map, sometimes there are detours. Sometimes there's traffic that holds us up. Sometimes there's an interesting attraction that gets us off the highway a bit. When we're approaching the actual destination, we want to divert less from the map. But right now, very few of us are doing that. Most of us can stand to jump off the highway a bit and look at that interesting thing or novelty. It's just a map.
So from a coaching perspective, what do we mean by that? Well, that means that if you want to reshape your next 2 or 3 weeks around some certain physical challenge that wasn't otherwise going to be on the table, like an Everest, right? Well, there's not really a ton we can do to train specifically for that. And on top of that, we're obviously going to have to take out a few days before and after of what would have otherwise been our normal consistent training. And that can make it look like it's not as productive as just sticking to the normal plan. But the reality is that if you have something cycling related that's genuinely organically motivating to you, it's probably a good idea to try and attempt it to see, you know, if you can or not. And if it's going to get you out on the bike, if that's what is going to motivate you, then that's a worthwhile thing to try and figure out how to work into the mix, generally speaking. So that's one piece of it. But the flip side of that is something that is pretty much it goes hand in hand with these kind of challenges. There's a fine line between commitment and ego.
Yeah. Mine's a perfect example of mm-hmm. when I did the
virtual.
Yeah. So I same sort of thing what we're talking about here, which is not really why we're talking about it, but I attempted the Everest challenge, but I was doing it on Zwift.
Spontaneously,
it was spontaneous. It was the same sort of thing, and we had
your coach wouldn't have really approved of that.
No, but we had so many people that were wanting to try it, and I hadn't tried it. I hadn't even really considered it, mm-hmm. But I had a day off to do so, and kind of had the house to myself and. So I just went for it, mm-hmm. and I did take a couple of days off beforehand just to make sure that I didn't get too terribly stupid. And about 8.5 hours in, and a good 3/4 of the way done. Mm-hmm. I don't have the specific numbers in my room, but I was 8.5 hours in, and I was seeing the end. Although it was still a couple hours away, I started to have some knee issues, mm-hmm. and so I'd been riding for so long and on the trainer on top of that, almost my instinct was to just push through. It's going to be fine. I'll just back off a little bit. And backing off wasn't making the knee pain go away. Mm. And I wasn't going particularly hard in the first place because I knew it was going to be like a 13, 14 hour thing. You texted me, how's it going? Mm-hmm. And I was telling you that I was starting to struggle a bit, but this is where I was at this point. And you said you're allowed to take a break. And I immediately
friggin' Jack got in the boots.
Yeah
Normatec right. boots.
I immediately got off the bike and I went and sat down on the porch and on the porch swing, and mm-hmm. I fell asleep. And it probably took me 5 minutes. And 5 minutes, I fell asleep.
Oh my god!
And of course, I was outside in a swing, so it wasn't particularly restful, and I didn't stay asleep. And then I went back inside, uh-huh. and I'm like, well, I'm not quite ready to get on my bike. I'm stretching a little bit, and I could feel some of the tension in the lateral part of my leg to release on my knee. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel better. I'm gonna eat something. So I sat down on the floor and I ate something, and about an hour later, I woke up. and then when my phone was next to the bike, and you texted somewhere in that hour, you texted, are you okay? Because you were watching me.
Yeah.
You were watching me the other day. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Here I go. And I went like 10, I went like 10 more minutes, mm-hmm. and my knee was still bothering me. Mm-hmm. And I had to do that thing of like, I can finish this. Yeah. It's going to be ugly. I can finish this. But to what end? Because right. I'm going to finish this, and I might be 6 weeks off the bike because of a knee thing, and I will have done an Everest. But like, what if racing comes back in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I'm like, so I had to do I had to have the self-talk of, I got in an 8.5 hour ride today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have 300 and something, 400 something TSS. I can't remember exactly what it was. It doesn't matter. I had a massive mm-hmm. workout. Even though it wasn't anything, there's no, you know, I'm not sitting 20 minute PR. I did probably set an eight hour PR.
Yeah.
that's a new thing that we'll be sending out to the clients. Okay, congratulations. You have an 8 hour PR.
Oh my God.
Or worse, you come up like 3 watts short on an 8 hour ride. So, but, and then I took the next day off because, well, I mean, really, like, the next day, if you just did an 8.5 hour ride, are you planning to do intensity the next day? Are you planning to do endurance? Do you really need to ride easy for another hour after? So I took a couple days off. I might have actually taken 3 days off.
Mm-hmm. And, something like that.
But I wanted to make sure that like I didn't turn this into a knee thing.
Right.
And on Tuesday, I set 5 minute PR, set it again on Wednesday. On Thursday, set a 10 minute PR. Mm-hmm. So I was, the fact that I took on a challenge, I just randomly chose the Everest challenge, probably because the last phone call I took the day before was about it.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went for something, but I didn't wrap my, what you're saying, I didn't wrap my ego around it so much that I made things worse. Mm-hmm. I almost did.
So it's important, like on one hand, we're giving ourselves a carrot, right? That because we don't have a carrot for in the form of racing right now. So we're trying to find something to do with ourselves. And then on the other hand, there's so much going on right now for, you know, a lot of folks who live in more urban communities, and you know, for we have some personal unrest in our lives. You know, we're looking for, we collectively and we personally are looking for what we refer to as soul rides, right? You want to, some of us really like to push ourselves to the edge in order to get that soul ride feeling, and others of us just need to just be in the sunshine, in the saddle, turning the pedals for a few minutes, and that's a soul ride, right? And it's important to kind of figure out where what works for you, because right now when the training plan is certainly going to be a proven path to continual improvement right now, it's not like improvement has to be perfectly linear in a vacuum. I mean, just because there's no racing going on right now doesn't mean that you're supposed to get three off seasons better. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's, there's very real stuff going on right now. And many of us are having stuff, further instability in our personal lives as a result of what's going on externally, whether it's your job, you know, whether it's your community, whether, whatever it may be, cycling can seem very trivial right now. But it's important to recognize that we got into this game because it played a role in our daily lives for something other than, did I get enough TSS?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So the flip side, though, there.
Yeah, you're making that TSS be CTL or whatever way more because you don't have anything else.
Right. Right.
To focus on or measure.
So you got to treat these big challenges more like soul rides rather than races. Like there's, you don't get a fucking prize for finishing.
Yeah, I didn't,
you
know, I didn't lose my Everest challenge.
No, right.
I just didn't finish it.
I mean, in a lot of ways you got the same effect. You know what I mean? You push yourself to the edge, you challenge yourself, you did a bigger ride than you've done in a long time, maybe if ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like on and on and on and on and on. How is that a failure just because you didn't get some arbitrary number of ascent, which by the way, virtual Everesting is kind of bullshit anyway.
It's pretty silly. And, well, not that it matters at all, but I was very deliberate about staying on the bike on the descents. Like when you do it on Zwift, your bike will go downhill.
Right.
You can get off and go to the bathroom. But we know of somebody that went and got in the Normatec. So the 12 minutes that they figured it...
Every descent,
they get in their Normatec boots and they would go to the bathroom. I'm like, no. Like, I can't just leave my bike.
Right.
Which is why you noticed that, like, you're like, what do you? Well, actually, I was on a climb, so it wasn't the descent that I was just spinning.
Yeah.
Because the bike would have just stopped on the downhill,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of funny when you think about it. But like, I think about people that are doing the real world, in real life, mm-hmm. doing these Everest challenges, and like, you can't just get off your bike and get in the car and let your bike roll down the hill and then go catch it. You got to ride.
Catch it later.
And that's what Payson did one recently. And they had it was all single track.
Single track.
That was really cool. That was a cool one. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested now in the more interesting ways that people do this than I am to see how fast you can do it. Because that'll mess you up unless you're...
It's not something that would ever be in a real race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fundamentally, it's a lot like combining... I mean, it's combining the climbing difficulty of any of the hardest climbs, but adding the endurance component of something like Kanza or greater to it, depending on the level that you're bringing mm-hmm. to it. And
I was going to end up doing 100 miles.
The reality is there's not like, you aren't really physically cut out to do that. You know what I mean? Like, by definition, you're going to have to go way past ugly at some point. No one is still, like, nobody is still, like, well-fed and well-hydrated. And, yes, my fitness has prepared me for hour seven. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's only a few people that even have that kind of fitness in the whole world. And, like, of all of them, like, there's Payson and, like, World Tour pros. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know where Colin would fit. I don't. And obviously, a lot of World Tour pros have done it. A lot of World Tour pros won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. You know, it just kind of depends. And I think the important thing to come back to is for us, you know, mere mortals, that it is a soul challenge. It's not an actual do or die event.
And you're not going to win.
Right. We're going to be way worse off if you fuck something up and we have to be off the bike for 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks while you physically or mentally recover, you know. And then that will lose us progress. And then what was it worth to set that in the meantime? And for a lot of us, maybe talking through some of this, for instance, I have one of my clients, Martin, was going to try and do an enduro based Everest, where essentially the climb was going to be on a fairly simple climb, but the descent part was...
He was going to be working harder on the descent than
right.
the climb.
I mean, and we went and did a test run. That's what the file showed, and we added it all up, and we just physiologically, we were going to go so far off the deep end that, like, I would bet money that something would have happened on the downhill trail.
Well, yeah, you know, when you start getting to where your motor skills are
right.
and half what they were...
Have to go, you know... Anybody that's done any races like this will tell you, like, after hour four, like, it's kind of pretty much just up to you against you. And we're talking about, for some folks who are attempting these Everest things, not in Martin's case in particular, but some folks are in the 12 plus hour range for these kinds of things. And it's like, how many Cliff Bars are you really willing to eat? And you know what I mean? Like, so there's
I went through a lot of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, a whole box.
I upset Elizabeth.
So,
because I ate all the Pop-Tarts.
So this is a good time to check your deification of the training plan and make sure that you're not trying to adhere yourself to something that might be creating more stress than it is, you know, promoting, you know, peace in your life, I guess. Because generally speaking, the plan is there so that you don't have to worry about, what am I doing on the bike? Am I going to be good enough? Am I progressing at the right rate? Am I going to be prepared for these races? Like, no, that's our job. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta roughly stick to it with a, you know, a 70% plus margin mm-hmm. without us having to do too much juggling around it. But, like, it's the real world. But when we're in a vacuum and there's not really any races to shoot for, like, you don't have to, like, laser focus on it. Like, whether or not you completed your workout on a day or had a great week or a poor week doesn't define who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So getting back to, like, what I was writing in our group, and when you get folks that are upset with themselves because on interval number four, they couldn't hit the target, or they didn't hit the target, or they lost focus. And I'm like, wait, you still were getting stronger, even though you're making that fourth interval mean more than it actually does. Yes, your workout was written with precision. Your workout was written with what you did the day before in mind and what you're going to do in the next few days in mind. And all that was in place. But you didn't ruin anything.
No.
You're not lesser of a person or anything like that because you didn't nail number four. And we're starting to see people stress over such a thing, or, you know, the way the workout was built, it was going to be 150 TSS and they only got 137. And I'm like, it's okay. It's really okay. I'll make up that TSS.
Yeah.
No,
just relax.
Relax. Because if we had a race this weekend, you wouldn't go fix it the day before just to catch up on your TSS.
Right. So, sorry, caught me taking a drink of water there. But that's kind of, I mean, that was the main thing I wanted to touch on, is like, you got to figure out, you know, don't let that training plan be the arbiter of your personal value or success. Like, this is a totally appropriate time to continue. Like, there's very few people where the solution is to, like, hang up your bike and not come back. For the most part, most of us just need to kind of shift our focuses within the sport, either to a different discipline or with a different level of structure. or shift more towards, you know, volume without intensity, shift more towards intensity without volume, shift more towards we're just managing the overall volume, but you're free to get that volume on whatever surface and whatever concentration of hours you wish. And the reality is that when we're doing our job correctly, the way that we would prefer to do it is that we would like to know everything that you have going on in your day-to-day life. What is your exact work schedule? What are your exact family obligations? What do you prefer to do on the weekends versus the weekdays? You know, are you a morning rider or an evening rider? And we write the plan to be as achievable as possible given those parameters. It's not going to be the fastest way for you to improve in a vacuum. It's going to be the most consistent way for you to improve without disrupting any of the other stuff that constitutes your real life.
As an example, so if somebody's typically a morning trainer, we're going to write a plan thinking, okay, well, they're going to be how you ride first thing in the morning is a little bit different than how you ride if you're coming off of work and into the evening. And there's, especially in the warmer states, there's a temperature difference. And there are those things that I'm not saying that they're the heavyweight factors that we do when we build it, but those are all built in. And if for some reason you don't ride one morning and you ride in the afternoon instead, well, the next morning when you get back into your regular routine, you just did a ride when you 12 hours before your next ride, whereas it's usually 24 or something right. Like that. And so the next ride might not be as stellar as it would have been, but it doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
We had to work with the grain, that thing. We don't need to rebuild anything. But mm-hmm. So whereas you might have made a 100 on the workout before, maybe you only made a 90.
Right.
It's still an A. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still good.
Still got plenty of work done for sure. So it's one of those things like don't sell yourself short, and certainly don't, you know, skip a ride or, you know, doubt yourself because...
Or if you do skip a ride, don't get a rope.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, for sure, if you have a coach, talk to your coach. And if things can be moved around, there's plenty of times where they pretty much can be, especially now. There's almost no limits on... I mean, we're starting to get kind of the point where racing is maybe a month or two out kind of thing. But like...
Yeah, based upon the information that we're seeing from websites and that kind of thing, we can start wrapping our hound that maybe August we're going to be seeing some stuff. So that's... I mean, if you're racing in August, you're... a couple months out.
Right. Right. So
as we record this.
Yeah. So that being said, if you are at a point where you're not really sure where to go with having smashed it up to this point, or if you're not really sure how to get yourself out of a tailspin, this is going to be the last few weeks. If you're a regular competitor, this is going to be the last few weeks where you have the opportunity to soul ride without fear of repercussion of what's going to happen to your results when racing does come back, because there's still enough time here. And it's important to figure out what constitutes a soul ride for you as an individual, because I know plenty of people who, if you didn't give them a training plan and you left them alone, even with a full-time job, they'd ride 20, 24 hours a week.
There are plenty of people like that.
I also know plenty of people that without bike racing wouldn't ever, ever touch a bike. Yeah. And a lot of us are somewhere in between. So you have different preferences, but when we write a plan, you know, we're writing it with the same workouts. I mean, not this. I mean, we design new workouts all the time, but for the most part, it's tempo, it's sweet spot, it's anaerobic capacity, it's threshold, it's endurance. You know what I mean? Like, but we as individuals are more diverse than that even. So you have to at times break away from that structure and recharge and figure out how to get some of that juice back. And for some people that's going to involve like trail running for a while, or for some people that just involves I need to switch up the surface,
or just taking one day out of the week that was normally a regular training ride and doing something a little bit different.
Right So it's just, there's so many different ways it can look. Figure out what you can do for you, what is the solution for you. Trial and error. You know, we have time right now. Go out and try something new, or, you know, practice waking up in the morning and asking yourself, what kind of training do you want to do today? You know what I mean? That sort of thing. And it's not necessarily that you should go against your plan, but you should, you know, consider figuring out, like, what do you gravitate towards? What do you gravitate away from? And have a conversation with your coach about, you know, where do these things fit into my preparation? Can we focus more on the stuff that I like to do? Can I get away with, you know, not incorporating some of the stuff that just doesn't motivate me? You know what I mean? And some folks can, some folks can't. It just depends on what you're preparing for.
I believe you have to embrace the grind. But I don't think you should be grinding for the sake of grinding.
Right.
Because if you're going to move a pile of rocks, just moving a pile of rocks to move a pile of rocks, that's going to stop being, it's a workout, but if there's no purpose to it.
Right.
And that's the kind of feeling that we're going to run into when we don't know when we're going to race again is like, well, what's the purpose? Of course, the purpose is still to get stronger and that kind of thing. But when you've been training a lot, you can't maintain, you know, like if your CTL is normally 100, 105 and you've got it up to 120 because you haven't had races to like taper and all that kind of, you're not going to keep 120 forever. And if all of a sudden it goes down to 114.
Yeah. We're not trying to hit 150.
The sky is not falling. The sky is not falling.
It's fine. And it's important not to just, when you hit that point, whether you go off the top and you're like, now what, or if you've dropped off the bottom, because all this, it's important not to give up on it entirely. Find what it is that got you into this in the first place. What kind of bike rides do you like doing? You know, and for, I mean, it's great that group rides are starting to come back around too. I mean, that was a big motivator for me early on as well. I mean, being able to ride with people is probably, you know, one of the most important things. So, I mean, I do recommend getting out and doing that, you know, try different stuff and don't be afraid to, you know, reshuffle things a little bit and try and match where your motivation is at. And if you are faltering in motivation, you know, have patience with yourself, have some understanding, but, you know, be prepared to knuckle down and get back to business here in the next couple weeks, because as racing picks back up, when you sign up for a race, if, you know, suppose racing comes back in August and there's the outside world is still melting down, you know, like, it's not going to matter in that race what's going on outside of that race. It's still going to matter what training you did. And if you're in the boat right now of being able to stick exactly to the training plan and you like it this way because there's nothing else that's going to disrupt it, then great.
Some people thriving off of this right now.
And it's really, really cool to see. And that's certainly an X factor. But not feeling motivated by your plan or not feeling motivated because you don't have any races is valid right now, but that doesn't mean that you need to step away from cycling necessarily.
Yeah, from a coaching standpoint, I'd rather have an athlete tell me that they're having a hard time with this or motivation,
right,
than to just ghost.
Start seeing red boxes. Right, yeah. And
because we can work with anything.
Right.
We can change things. For example, I have a guy that's so I guess it's today, he had some 10 to 12 minute efforts he was doing, and they're roughly threshold. There's a little bit below, but, and he's like, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. I was like, well, that's fine, because we started these out at 8 minutes and we were progressing up to the 12 minute range. And he's like, I just don't feel like looking at wattage numbers right now. And I said, well, don't. I said, you have an idea of what it feels like. So what if it's 10 watts below? So what if it's 10 watts over? We're not. So just go. And then what we did was we came up with, like, go do it on your single speed. Yeah, you're not going to have a power meter on a single speed. I said, but you know what hard is. You know what kind of hard you were going to be doing. So just do it by feel. And it'll just, I said, when you come back and we have just a heart rate file, it's going to be about 15 TSS less than it was. And I said, if it really matters to you, we'll add that in. I said, but the benefits from doing the workout are still going to be there, even if you do it on your single speed and it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, so you know what? I expect that he's going to, like, yeah, I'd like to incorporate my single speed once a week or that kind of thing, which is fine for right now. This actually, this has nothing to do with what I just said. It just made me remember, for a lot of folks who have been mostly riding indoors, or, well, not even necessarily the case, but you see it more for people riding indoors. If you haven't been racing in a while, which is everybody, you probably haven't been in the drops a lot. And as we're starting to wrap our heads around racing, come back, especially for the road folks, it's probably a good idea to make yourself get in the drops a little while on each ride. So, because if you built up all this fitness, but it's all been sitting on the tops because you've been on the trainer or because you've been, you don't need to get in the drops because you've been riding on your own,
right?
That kind of thing. It's probably a good idea to start remembering what it feels like to being hunkered down just a little bit more, and how your bike handles with the weight shifted just a little bit different. It's a good thing. Sorry that I've been meaning to bring that up for a while, and because the last time anybody raced was what, early March or something like that.
So yeah, I mean, just that all in, that's kind of just, that was pretty much the thought I had today, was that like we've got folks on all ends of the spectrum right now, because this, everything that's going on has impacted everybody a little bit differently. Most everyone is better than they were before we went into this, which is relatively predictable. But that being said, we're definitely in a point now where it's like kind of maybe the light's at the end of the tunnel, but I'm struggling a little bit with my day-to-day right now. And that's okay. Even if, you know, even if you've put in some work and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can hold this all the way until we start racing again. Or if you like are really needing to kick it back into gear before racing comes back, you know, get outside, get moving, just make it a point to be on the bike 6 days a week, you know what I mean? And just start building that consistency again. And for a lot of us, especially if you've been traveling or you've had, you know, more off days than usual, if it's been on and off, on and off, on and off, things are going to feel a little rusty and a little weird. You know, even if you're still, even if you just set a round of PRs, you know, it's, you want to get back in a consistent routine, and you want to have patience with yourself. If you're struggling with it, then just ride until it's not fun anymore. You know, allow yourself to get back into it. And once you've built that consistent routine, and once you've had that conversation, once you've figured out what it is that is bothering you in particular, then you can start to work towards what is returning to normal look like, and what is returning to, you know, achieving my goals look like. Because look, the we've said it once, say it a thousand times, the path to success is not linear, and it's very easy.
And don't
easy.
Punish yourself when it goes right. A little jagged.
Exactly. It's very easy to, especially in a vacuum like we've had recently, to want to believe and want to see that improvement linear, in a linear fashion, and it's just not always going to be. I mean, it could be an injury, it could be sickness, it could be emotional. I mean, there's a lot of emotional.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is like don't feel like if you feel like, man, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. But when you have all these outside influences that are just negative, don't let that derail who you are. But also don't try to like double down on, if you're good at the discipline part and you find that it's like, oh man, because there's just the constant news is so negative right now that it's easy to start internalizing that. And you're still the same person you were before. Don't beat yourself up over this if you feel like, man, I'm losing the plot as a bike racer, because this is unprecedented. I mean, back during World Wars, guys would be off the bike for their whole enlistment and they'd come back and win races.
Yep.
Like it's, and we're worrying about like one particular interval in a set or a ride or even a week. And like, it's you will, if you had the flu and you were out for a couple weeks, you don't write it all off. You don't change your sport. You don't, that kind of thing. This same thing, the broken collarbone or any, those things keep you from riding. And right now, don't let just the heaviness of it all. And so if you have to back out of a set of intervals and go take a picture of a zebra at the safari ranch on your ride, then you still rode. You still did something outside. You still did something. I mean, if you can't get outside, do something for yourself inside. But find challenges that are achievable, not crazy. find, you know, if you only, if you're doing your plank and your 3 minute plank, let's try a new way to do plank, change it up a little bit, but still work towards that. So you can still develop core strength, even if you're stale at what you've been doing, by changing it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if the grind is getting a little too grindy for you, just, you know, get off of social media, put your Garmin or your Wahoo in the pocket and get out and get some sun. You know what I mean? Get wet, whatever. Yeah. Just move your body, you know, cleanse your soul a little bit, whatever you need to do that. Like Biff and I have been doing the beach here and there lately. That's been great. You know, so some of us might be near a lake. If nothing else, you have a bike, go out and ride the bike. You know, it's very easy to kind of get sucked into when's racing coming back, you know, what's going on in my community, you know, it sucks that I lost my job, blah, blah, blah. But like, yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone around the table is somehow going through something right now, you know, but, and it can seem silly to like, well, why am I freaking putting myself through all this training? Well, it's because it's not going to be like this forever. And guess what? Like, you're still a human being and you're still going to be better off with a little physical activity today. And if the training plan doesn't turn you on and racing's too far out of reach, remember that you still need to go move and that you're still going to be better off if you go move. So go move, you know, that's pretty much it.
I like it.
Maybe I'm talking to myself more than anything.
Yeah, well, we're having to talk ourselves through it. I mean, our fitness is up at, well, the highest that it's been.
I think this is the first time since you and I have come back to training and racing that we've been stronger than we are fit. Right. Yeah, we've always been just waiting for that FTP to catch up, waiting for that FTP to catch up, waiting for that FTP to catch up. Our fitness has been fine, but now for once it's like, my CTL is like not exactly where I want it to be. It's like in the upper 80s, but like finally my FTP is back over 300.
And for those of you that like really in tune with this stuff, we're messing around with some reverse periodization in a way, not textbook, but so it's been working for us. But we just, this podcast came up based upon a lot of conversations we've had in the last couple of weeks with athletes and what we're hearing from new and prospective clients and consults. This is a common theme, so we figured it's out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it resonates with you, we're here. You know, we want to talk. This is, you know, we focus on cycling primarily, but you know, cycling's, you know, intrinsically connected with many other aspects of our life, especially if this is something that, you know, you've been a regular racer for a long time, and this is, and again, an unprecedented time. And so, we want to be here for our community and here for you guys. And if you have any questions or anything you want to bounce off of us related to all this, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, it's not, group rides are limited right now, and obviously it's a little bit more difficult to personally connect on social media as of late. But if this is what you're focused on and this is your outlet, we're here for you. So holler at us.
All right. Be safe out there. But my goodness, love each other.
God. Yeah. Racism sucks. Fuck racism. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Ciao.